Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen. Over in Studio V is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you today?
Real good, Don, and I appreciate the fact that we've decided to put this special on this Sunday afternoon, even though a lot of folks are watching basketball and hockey and things like that. But this is important news, and I'm very honored that we've been able to acquire our the consultation of Reverend Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan, if you will, particularly in light of a very embarrassing situation facing the NAACP, both in California, the state conference, the Los Angeles chapter, and, of course, the national NAACP in this very heated and volatile explosion surrounding the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. But first of all, we certainly want to hear what kind of suppression, oppression, and totalitarianism is going on out there in Western Michigan. Go ahead, Don. You've talked to Reverend Pinckney. Lead us on in.
Yes, and got an email the other day that said Reverend Pinckney's been arrested. I said, oh, my. I said, what's going on? So I called him, and he kind of gave me a brief synopsis. But we're glad to have Reverend Pinckney on the line live with us now on the Ron and Don Show. And Reverend Pinckney, if you could just, you know, give us the background and what's going on. I mean, you've been on here with us before telling us a little bit of what's happening, but what's happening now?
Man, they call themselves putting the pressure on us like never before. On Thursday, it was my wife's birthday, and I was taking her out to dinner. And we was going up to Kalamazoo, which is about 40 miles away. And what happened was that when I got to Kalamazoo, my phone started jumping off the hook. They said that the sheriff's department and the SWAT team had surrounded my home.
Wow.
So I guess they was coming to kill or whatever they was going to do. I had no knowledge what they was about to do. But I had to figure out what to do myself. So I had to finish my dinner, and I went and talked to my attorney, Tad Parrish. He first thing came out of his mouth, let me call the prosecutor office. So he calls the prosecutor office. They say they have a warrant for my arrest. And he said, well, okay, well, I will bring him in Monday morning. They said, no, we want him now. We want him tonight. He will not be out after tonight. We're going to have him in our custody. And he said, well, that's going to be pretty hard to do. So they said that. He said, but I'll try to get him in there as soon as I can. So he called another person, and they said it's pretty much the same thing. They wanted me now. But he said that I'll bring him in the morning. So all night long, they was driving around the community, trying to locate me, trying to figure out where I was at, even with the cell phone. You know, you can track people with the cell phone.
Yeah,
and so what I did, I took the batteries out of my cell phone so they wouldn't be able to contact me through that. Mm-hmm. So that way I could sleep good that night knowing that it was going to be all right. But they had one intention, that was to lock me up that day and hoping that I could get out. But unfortunately, I survived until the next morning, unfortunately for them. But then when I got to my attorney office the next morning, we went to the courthouse and we walked in together and told them that, you know, want to be arraigned this morning. They took me and had me fingerprinted and very, very wonderful, very cordial to me. Everything was sweet as candy. And I got a chance to see this judge. His name is Judge Losada. If he's not the head of the Klans, I don't know who he is. This guy's a real character. He's about as sleazy as you get. Now, remember this. This is only signatures, a recall of the mayor. It's not that I killed nobody. It's not that I robbed nobody. It's not that I beat somebody down. You know, it's not that I stole something. These were just signatures. And we turned the signatures in, and they were perfectly good because they certified them. Then all of a sudden, they decide they was no good because they realized that their man that they're pulling for mayor is not going to win. So the judge said he wanted my bond to be $30,000. And I said, for signatures? Are you kidding me? You got to be almost out of your mind talking signatures for $30,000. So not only that, then he said that I could be released on tether, where I have to be under arrest 24/7. Then he said I could not use the computer. I cannot have internet. I cannot have these things in my household. So what are you saying? But we're going to attack that issue like never before. We're going to show them what we're capable of doing. And we're going to continue to pounce on them like never, never, ever before. So that's what's happening now. They got me pretty much under house arrest. They're trying to silence me, but it won't work because I'm going to continue fighting this battle.
Well, let me just ask a couple questions, Reverend Pinkney. So the state prosecutor contended that the names that you had brought in on the petition were fraudulent or false? Or
no,
what?
Here's what they did. When you brought them in, because they didn't expect for us to have enough to recall them, and they checked them, and they certified them to be good signatures. But what happened was, they got scared. They went out and made a dummy recall petition along with the original and went out to people's homes asking them which date did you sign these petitions on.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the petition was signed in November. And most likely you're not going to remember the exact date. So if you don't remember the exact date, they're saying that you didn't sign it, or the date was altered, or you don't know what. So they bringing them into court, but they're gonna have to prove that. You see, that's the thing. So they know, but their intention is not just that. Their intention is to stop this election at all costs. That's what they're doing. And on Tuesday they're gonna have a hearing to stop the election.
Excuse me, Reverend Pinkley. This is for the municipality of Benton Harbor. Is that correct?
Right. This is for Benton Harbor.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so, by the way, did this go to a county grand jury?
No.
Have they actually indicted you, or someone filed a complaint against you?
To a judge on Tuesday morning.
Let me go back to Friday. When the SWAT team and everything came up, they were acting obviously under color of law. So you had been indicted, or someone had sworn out a complaint against you?
They had sworn out a complaint. They had a warrant for my arrest.
And who was the signator on the complaint against you indicating that you were involved in voter fraud?
James Hightower. He's the current mayor.
Oh, he's the current mayor. Now, is he black or white?
He's black.
Oh, I see. Okay. But he's a party guy. In other words, he's a man of the party.
He's strictly a corporate man. He's not for the people.
Okay. So this is what has... Now, are you looking at making the federal authorities get involved?
Well, we have attempted that. We have done some things. I think what we're going to do, normally the feds won't get involved, especially when the shoe is on the other foot.
Uh-huh.
You see, they won't get involved unless if it was on my foot, it'd be something different. But now it's on their foot, and we think they did something bad. They're not going to most likely get involved.
Yeah, right. Let me just ask a series of questions. Of course, we've seen this happen. We used to see it a lot in the old days of the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s. Now, you are still the acting president of the NAACP of Benton Harbor. Is that correct?
No, I'm no longer the president of the NAACP here.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. But I mean, you're still a member, okay?
No, I don't even want to be a member.
Oh, gotcha. So you followed up on everything that you talked about to with
right,
us over.
Right, absolutely.
Over
I don't have nothing
okay.
to do with them.
Right. Okay. I got you. So your first court appearance will be Tuesday.
First court appearance will be Friday, May 2nd. The hearing, the preliminary examination will be May 6th, which is Tuesday, and that's what we're looking at.
Right. Now, when you indicated that they had removed, they indicated that you could not utilize electronic equipment, everything from computers, et cetera, have they removed that from your home?
No, they can't remove it. They just want me to make sure that the Internet is not working. And they're going to cut the Internet off tomorrow.
Wow. Wow. That seems to be pretty close to an infringement upon your constitutional right of free speech.
Without a doubt.
The First Amendment.
There's not
wow.
a doubt about that. I got two different sets of lawyers, and my second set of lawyers is working on that.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, Mr. Allen, go ahead. You got any questions on this?
Well, I'm just wondering, how can they cut your Internet off in your house? That does, like Mr. Edwards
said.
Well,
they can't cut it off. They asked me to cut it off. And then even if it was in my wife's name, they said I should not have Internet, period, in my house.
Wow. Yeah, that's
to me, that appears. I'm, of course, not your attorney or anything like that. That seems to be way over the line.
Yeah,
and
oh, without
fact,
a doubt.
It seems to be that there should
but
have been
they're
a hearing.
So used, remember this. They're so used to doing black people like that.
Yeah.
And, but only thing I got me some attorneys who are going to fight.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
you
this
know,
seems
they,
to be
we
way over
fight
the line.
This thing to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going
to
hold these people up for any reason. Yeah, so
wow.
we're staying focused and doing the things that need to be done. But listen, I got to get ready for my show now. I just want to come on and thank y'all for really, you know, caring enough to even have me to come on.
All right, brother. And we'll be in continuous touch with you, and we'll certainly try to have you on back on in a couple of weeks after your first appearances.
All right, do that. Appreciate it.
All right, Reverend Pinkney.
All right,
thank
now.
You. All right.
Bye.
That's fascinating, Mr. Allen.
That is really crazy. Yeah.
I mean,
turn the Internet off in your house.
Yeah. To deny him the right of even access to information free. I mean, it sounds like something out of George Orwell's 1984, if
mm-hmm.
you will. And what I was going to say to him, but, you know, he had to rush, but the law indicates in a situation like that where that kind of determination is being ordered, if you will, you have to have a hearing. You have to have. Do you know what you have to have? You have to have a hearing on probable cause to do
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah. See, they're treating Reverend Pinkney all of a sudden as if he is a national security threat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's what you do to the folks that you say are involved with terrorism. Are a threat to national security. I mean, you do that, and man, I hope his lawyers really get on top of that, and very quickly, because that is a tainting, a staining of his reputation as a citizen of the United States. That is really something. I mean, we know they go to, you know, I saw him do things similar to that back in the 1960s. Reverend Pinkney said something very compelling and very profound, and that was, this is how you do black folks, and you're able to get away with it because we, by and large, don't have the resources. As he said, he has two sets of lawyers. That's fascinating. That's good. But the average person, you know, the 80 percentile, maybe even 90 percentile of African Americans who are caught up in these kinds of situations do not have the legal services. Do not have access, if you will, and so consequently, you know, old massa, old boss put that on you, whip you across your back, you understand, and all you do is go get some water and some liniment, if you will, or ointment. Wow. Well, Ms. Towns, before we open the phone lines up, because this is a special and we want to take a look at a firestorm. And, in fact, as we speak, the Golden State Warriors are playing the Los Angeles Clippers in Oakland, California, which is the home of the Golden State Warriors, if you will. But this whole thing about the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, Donald Sterling, what is your take, Mr. Allen? And then, you know, we'll kind of go into to some things, and we'll open the phone lines up maybe in the final half hour. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, before we go into our editorial piece, I think that we should give our listeners the opportunity to listen to the unedited tape in its entirety of his conversation.
9 minutes and 30 seconds or 13 seconds, I believe, or something like that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, let's play it and kick back and listen to Donald Sterling talking to his girlfriend. Mr. Sterling, by the way, is married with grown children. This is his girlfriend, who I think is about 40 years younger than he is, if not more. But go ahead.
Here we go.
Honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. I wish I can change the skin. The color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast
it. I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You
can't be flexible. You can.
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful and
Why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are.
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to have hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately. in your whole life. Every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram, and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games? I
really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We got to pay it. You didn't like so much.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, that was like 5 minutes, 19 seconds. I think we get the full picture of this plantation.
Oh, yes, we've heard, my staff has heard the full 9 minutes and 13 seconds. In fact, there's a piece in there that actually we probably should have played where he told her the TMC bleeped it out because of FCC rules, where he told her it would be all right if she went out and screwed. He used the F word. She could go screw Magic Johnson. See, the piece that's really creating a problem for the NBA is his statements about Magic Johnson as an example. You know, Magic, popular and well-liked in Southern California, and what she goes on to say is how Magic Johnson has been a glowing example of success and et cetera, and the things that he's done for his people and done for people and et cetera. And, you know, it was quite clear that Donald was very distraught by her defense of African Americans, and in this case, Magic Johnson, because, see, there was also a reflection there in which he had chided her for comparing Magic Johnson with the legendary white NBA hero Larry Bird. And in that tape, he starts off just before he tells her she could go F Magic Johnson and do whatever she wanted to do. You know, they got into this thing about the comparison. Here's what I take from this. And first of all, she operated on him pretty good, because some of the things that she was saying to him, maybe at least half of the things, were things I think you would also agree as a journalist, Mr. Allen, were things that they had discussed in at other points in time. And what she really was doing was confronting him with many of the statements that he had made over the term of their relationship. And if you listen really close to the tape, if you analyze the way she was asking him questions, sometimes she would actually draw even out of him when he would kind of make a statement. I maintain that these were things that they had had prior discussions on, and she had grown tired of his racism and et cetera. But according to the lawsuit filed by his wife and his kids, who were adults, he was quite a cash cow, because, uh-huh, you know, in their lawsuit they maintained that she allegedly embezzled $1.8 million. Well, the major white networks ran with that initially until somebody finally decided to go get the lawsuit. And what the lawsuit really says is that she was the beneficiary of $1.8 million of family assets and family property. She, mm-hmm, didn't embezzle anything, okay? But it's quite obvious that this became quite an embarrassment to the Sterling family and his wealth. I'm not sure what he is actually worth, but I would imagine it's big seven figures, if you will. But this is not the first rodeo for this Jewish individual. And he's a Jew, by the way. I mean, you know, The NBA has known that Donald Sterling, he bought this club in, I think it was 1981, 82. This man has been a bad example of race relations in a league that has basically grown from 40, 45, 50, 60, 80% African Americans, okay? In fact, he's been one of the leaders amongst the NBA owners in bringing in more white foreign players, going after the top foreign players, be they in, they're in Russia, Germany, you know, Montenegro or whatever, to try to reduce the number of black Americans in the National Basketball Association. And so this is a firestorm, but I think, Mr. Allen, in our production meeting, we both agreed this is nothing new. Am I correct?
No, nothing new at all. But yeah, but Mr. Edwards, I need to ask you your thoughts, you know, on this with the MBPA president, Chris Paul. I mean, what was his insertion into this situation?
Well, Chris Paul, this is actually his first full year as president of the Players Association. He succeeded Derek Fisher. In fact, as I said, Chris Paul is playing right now in the game in Oakland. Chris Paul is the president, and he's a very level-headed, very intelligent African-American compared to what, you know, people would think about us. On Friday and yesterday, there was a lot of damage control being done, and one of the damage controls was a kind of a two-headed move, if you will. Number one, the commissioner, who is also Jewish, Adam Silver, reached out to Mayor Kevin Johnson, the mayor of Sacramento, California, who is a former NBA great, will probably be in the Hall. I think is, in fact, in the Hall of Fame. Very popular mayor in Sacramento. He, in fact, saved that team because there was an attempt to move it up to Seattle to replace the team that was taken from Seattle and given to Oklahoma City. And so Kevin Johnson is very well respected, if you will, per se. He is also helping to head the committee that is doing a search for the executive director, a paid position of the Players Association. Poverty Play pays about $500,000 a year, which, you know, they deserves that salary. And what is the concern right now in the NBA and amongst the other white owners is that there will be, well, they say that, you know, that that Michael Jordan is an owner. He's a partial owner of Charlotte, the Bobcats, if you will. He is not a full owner. The bank records and loan records show that. But, you know, that notwithstanding, I'm quite sure they have the right kind of conversation, the owners. I'm talking about the white owners of the NBA when Michael Jordan comes to their meetings, which are gala affairs, by the way. If you've ever been to a NBA or NFL or Major League Baseball or even hockey, for that matter, I mean, the owners, you know, wine and dine, and, you know, do a lot of fraternizing and et cetera, if you know what I mean. But
well,
anyways.
We have a phone caller.
Let's get the call. Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're live on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Okay, well, we'll just put him back in the queue or her back in the queue.
In the queue. Okay. So to your question about Chris Paul, Chris Paul is the president, and so with the Clippers in a series with Golden State and an attempt to move on into the semifinals of the Western Conference, if you will, the National Basketball Association wants to maintain order, or certainly the appearance of order. But they have known for a long time. First of all, let's go way back. There were numbers of occasions where Donald Sterling just went over the line. In fact, it's ironic, and let me throw this name out for our listening audience. For a number of years in the 90s, and the very early part of 2000, there was a heck of a black basketball player by the name of Byron Davis. He was the franchise player back then. Byron Davis did an interview, Mr. Allen, about 3 weeks ago, so that was quite some time before this thing exploded, with a blog, sports blog network, and he was asked about his relationship with Donald Sterling, and he talked in terms of how Donald Sterling, even doing games, would refer to his black ball players on the Los Angeles Clippers as baboons, black dummies, even referred to them by the N-word, talked down to them, would not talk to them in a formal and respected setting. And it was interesting last night on ESPN to listen to the interview, because all of a sudden that interview has gone viral by Byron Davis talking about what a mean-spirited individual that Donald Sterling was. Now, the real first attention that emerged with respect to Donald Sterling was his treatment of his then general manager, Hall of Famer and legendary Los Angeles, well, let me do it like this, Minneapolis and Los Angeles Laker, Elgin Baylor. Elgin Baylor was the general manager for a period of time with Los Angeles Clippers. He was the lowest paid general manager in the National Basketball Association. And finally, Elgin got fed up with it, and he filed a lawsuit against Donald Sterling and by extension, really, the National Basketball League. And, in fact, since then, he has been whiteballed, okay? Elgin Baylor, who did a heck of a job as GM at Los Angeles, has not been able to find really any employment in the National Basketball Association since he filed that suit and exposed Donald Sterling. But after that, Donald Sterling gets hit with a real bombshell. He is a big – he's a developer, and he owns a lot of property in both the Los Angeles and San Diego areas, by the way, because that's actually where the Clippers relocated from almost 30 years ago from San Diego. And so he was sued. Donald Sterling was sued in a class action lawsuit. And he ultimately had to, in one of those typical kind of Anglo-Saxon conclusions, he had to pay $2.75 million for housing discrimination, right? And the position of the NBA was that was a personal matter. That was a business transaction. That was a business matter, even though this man has a business in the NBA called the Los Angeles Clippers, right? So they knew that he was that kind of person, that he was very mean-spirited. He treated his black employees off-court, what we call off-court employees for the Los Angeles Clippers, extremely poorly, if you will, with great disrespect and et cetera. But he is typical of many bigots that he had no problem enjoying, quote-unquote, the fruit of the poison tree. And he had been running around chasing young women for quite some time. His wife was comfortable with it as long as he took care of her. But when his wife found out how much money he was giving to the young Latino African-American sister that we've seen in all the pictures, they began to panic because he actually started talking divorce. His wife told him she had never given him a divorce, so he just started giving his money in exchange for sexual pleasure, right?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone wants to kind of stay away from that, if you will. So that's the situation with Chris Paul. That's the situation with Kevin Johnson. That's the situation with the commissioner, Adam Silver, who actually has only been commissioner for about 3 months.
Yeah, I'm looking at the statements here from Mayor Kevin Johnson, who says these statements, Donald Sterling statements, are irreprehensible and unacceptable. And he'll be working with the MBPA, President Chris Paul, to make the NBA take a serious action, and he'll keep all the players informed every step of the way. But yeah, this is
let me just say this, Don, from long experience with things like this, that's really not going to happen. They need to keep a lid on this thing until after the playoffs are over in the first week in June. This is big money. The NBA is a billion-dollar American corporation run by white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the entertainment of white folks to be entertained primarily by African-Americans of almost 80%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to give you that fluff. They're doing everything they can even today as these games are being played to indicate that this is being taken seriously. But the most important thing, they even had Doc Rivers sing it, the black coach of the Clippers and a very respected man. They even had him and others, though a lot of the players are not saying it. And I have great respect for LeBron James of the Miami Heat, who indicated that there was no place in the National Basketball Association for Donald Sterling now when Adam Silver, the commissioner, was asked that at a press conference in Memphis last night. He declined to answer that question. I found that very interesting. And by the way, let me just say something on the side, because we first talked about this on this program almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Miami Heat were one of the few teams that really stepped up to the plate during the Trayvon Martin tragedy and controversy.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a picture of them all wearing hoodies, including the white players. And we reported on this program, and anyone, I mean, folks and people can go back and on demand get it. I talked with you over the air about the fact that the Miami Heat had been fined
mm-hmm.
for that particular action. And really, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and others are really not, have never been pleased with the way that that was handled, okay? But the NBA is about control and putting forward the best image. And you'll see more over the playoffs, you'll see more pictures, advertisements of black players talking about the things that they're doing in the community and that we must all pull together and et cetera. So there is already going to be spent with white ad agencies. I repeat that
mm-hmm.
again, with white ad agencies, probably $15 or $20 million to, quote-unquote, massage the image of the NBA, but by extension, massaging the image of America, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because this comes at a bad time in light of what happened with the militant racist Bundy out there in Nevada, okay? And you, in fact, I think, discussed a piece that you uncovered about that. He actually went out and hired some black Marines to be a part of his personal terror team. I mean, that's really a sad commentary. But, you know, Bundy maintained that we as African-Americans were better off being slaves. That
We shall overcome. Yeah.
We shall overcome. That's right.
Yeah, we have a caller.
And, let's see if we can get him on. Open the line.
Caller, go ahead. East Coast, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. This is B.A. calling you from Maryland. Can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Very clear, my brother.
Thank you. Great commentary. As always, and your knowledge of sports and race is impeccable. No question, you're very, very informed. This with the Sterling situation, in one respect, I have to say, you know, that's a personal, private phone call between him and his old lady, all right, or young lady, all right. And what they discuss privately, to some extent, you know, I have to give that some consideration. That is private. All right, I wouldn't want anybody taping my private calls or whatnot, you know, that I may say to a loved one, you know, because you know, sex make you do some crazy things, you know. Particularly,
oh, it sure will.
Yeah.
You know, you
yes,
start saying things you never thought you would say about people, you know. But here's a bigger issue you brought up here. And that is the culture of the NBA,
mm-hmm.
okay? This whole racist attitude, I see black people in a no-win situation. Because on the one hand, you have black players who are told to ham it up for a white audience, a white corporate audience. You know?
A new version of the Harlem Globetrotters.
You know what? I was just going to bring up the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's right.
Because I took my children last year to see the Globetrotters, and my
mm-hmm.
daughter wanted to know when they were selecting children, you know, from the audience, from the stands, to participate in some of their gaffes, why they only selected white children, you know?
Absolutely.
And I tried, I was trying to explain to her that was on purpose. That was not by accident. They were purposefully doing that to. But, you know, let me just say, what's more egregious to me is what you brought up about what he does in his business, personal business, they say. They're not, which I don't think is personal. His discrimination in the real estate market, okay?
Yes, sir.
Because those transactions, and if you're in real estate, it involves government abatements, tax abatements. It involves incentives from government. Government is involved if you're a big willy like he is in Southern California real estate.
That's
and
right.
For him to engage in discrimination with taxpayer money,
uh-huh.
and the way the league is, okay, just let that go, to me, I just think that was far, far more egregious than the phone call, other than the fact, you were right, he mentioned why would you mention Magic Johnson? And why would you bring Magic up in this? And I know Magic is no longer a part owner of the Lakers.
No, but he's still, a part owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Exactly. That to me, that was of the whole conversation. If Magic don't come up, the name of the person on Instagram don't come up, you don't know who it is, then that's just – but by
well,
him
let,
talking
– let me say this, East Coast. One of the things that has happened in the last 36 hours, he was really talking to her. He was really upset because there are some additional electronic intercepts between him and her. She's really doing him in. But there was a picture that she had posted on her iPhone or whatever, you know, given the kind of money he was paying her, she could get whatever she wanted, of her and Magic. And I think I remember now the game because the clothing that Magic had on was what I saw him have on about 3 weeks ago in a game that was nationally telecast, and it was the Clippers. And this is what caused my friend Donald to go berserk because she had posted the picture and, you know, Magic had his arm kind of around her shoulder. She had her arm around, you know, because obviously Magic 6'10". And some of his friends, according to him, teased him about the fact that she was, you know, finding some dark meat kind of thing. And it just really took him over the edge. And that's what had, I guess, really escalated, according to sources on the West Coast. I've talked to some this morning. What really began and initiated that conversation. And then his family told a heck of a lie yesterday, and you and thousands of others need to know how they played this out. When his family issued a statement and accused the girlfriend of embezzling $1.8 million from Donald, well, it made it look like she was a bad person. Some of the networks, particularly CBS, decided, well, we better go vent, just like TMZ vented that conversation. And they found out that the issue was that the girlfriend is being accused of acquiring $1.8 million from him voluntarily, if you will, of so-called family assets. In other words, he spent $1.8 million buying her apartment, taking her on trips. He said on this video that we just played that, well, I just don't think I'm rethinking the trip to Europe.
Oh,
because they were getting ready to go on a trip to Europe.
Yep. And let me also add, I don't know, when you switch over and when you start talking about the involvement of the NAACP. Which that's an angle I would like to hear what you have to say, because I haven't heard a lot about it in the media.
Oh.
Why would NAACP?
Okay, let's do this. Let's keep you on the air if you're comfortable with that, and let me run through it right quick, and my colleague can deal with anything we may have missed. First of CNN Don Lemon broke the story yesterday about 1 o'clock our time, Central Standard Daylight Time. Someone leaked them a advanced copy of the invite/agenda for the Image Awards of the NAACP to be held in L.A. And lo and behold, on the second page was Donald Sterling receiving the NAACP Life Achievement Award. But this is not the first time that the NAACP of Los Angeles or the state conference NAACP has come to the rescue of Donald Sterling, though they clearly didn't know when they made the decision to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award that this was going to blow up in their face. But you remember earlier I mentioned the beloved and legendary Elgin Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And Elgin Baylor, when Elgin Baylor sued Donald Sterling in 2006 for racial discrimination, et cetera, et cetera, lo and behold, Donald Sterling went and got the president of the Los Angeles branch of the NAACP to go on a couple of radio stations talking about what a great man that Donald Sterling was. And it, in some regards, had an effect on Elgin Baylor's lawsuit, and it also caused the National Basketball Association to indicate to Elgin Baylor that if he continued to pursue this, he had no future in any kind of administrative role in the NBA, and that has been the case. this man, who, by the way, when he became general manager in the late in the early 2000s, really turned that franchise around. Okay, but Elgin had begun to tell some of his contemporaries, like Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and others, that this cat was one hell of a cat to work for, and that the man was sick. Now, we said just before you called, there is, and it's gone viral, there is on You Two and the Rest a interview with Byron Davis, who was a premier guard and player for the Clippers in the 1990s and the very early 2000s. And I'll let you be your own judge, but when you take a look at the interview, it is unbelievable the things that he said and the way that Donald Sterling talked to his black ball players. I mean, he referred to them as apes, monkeys, NIGs, the whole kind of thing. And so the history with the NAACP is that because they are basically broke, that the word is now in L.A. that he apparently gave $100,000 in exchange for receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, and that's the way they play it, Mr. Edwards. But first, before I move on, I want to say thank you to Area Code 510 for calling and listening to this show. We're talking about California, Oakland, Hayward, and Fremont out there on the West Coast. It's good to know that you guys are tuned in to the Ron and Don show for this special program. But, Mr. Edwards, this seems to be the mode of operation for a lot of the NAACPs across the state, across the United States, where they fork out a little money from their handlers and put someone on the pedestal and give them a lifetime achievement award or recognize them or run damage control for them if they're in a situation that involves them saying something stupid about African Americans. But what shocked me, and this someone just texted me this, and while you were talking, Mr. Edwards, I had to load this to the website. That's why I was gone for a quick second here out of the studio, because some of the musicians, like, I don't give any of these musicians credit for being anything political, but I think Snoop Dogg, who I like to listen to him when he's talking. I have never purchased one of his CDs ever. But he got on Instagram and said something to this Donald Sterling that has over a million hits right now, and it continues.
Oh, let's
to go
play it.
Fun.
Let's get it played. If you got
and
it, if you got it ripped up, let's play it.
Yes, I do. If you have small children in the room, please cover their ears. This is MA.
Yes.
This is adult material, and I'm warning you right here. Snoop Dogg's comment on Donald Sterling.
Motherfucker that owned the Clippers, you bitch ass redneck white bread chicken shit motherfucker. Fuck you, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of shit. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Motherfucker that owned the Clippers, you bitch.
That's what he had to
say. That's my man Snoop Dogg, huh? Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's how they tell me a lot of people are feeling. Particularly there on the West Coast, even though the Clippers and Golden State are in a heated, as it should be, as it pertains to entertainment competition series, the ball players, and we're watching it on our monitors here in studio, the game, and in fact Golden State is up, and the Clippers look a little lethargic. Let me say this to Los Angeles Clipper fans in the Los Angeles and Southern California area. Contrary to what they're trying to say, there's an interesting pattern going on. I'm not saying that the Clippers would throw the game or et cetera, but I'm watching the intensity of Chris Paul, of Blake Griffin, and et cetera. And I'm just saying to you, Mr. Allen, as a sports historian and writer and et cetera, that there's a little fire, a little lack of fire in the belly. Score 66-43 with 42 seconds left in the first half. I just say this to our listeners on both coasts and in the South, that I'm not sure that the Clippers are really feeling it. They do feel significant respect for their beloved coach, the legendary, and he will be Hall of Famer, Doc Rivers, who I have just the greatest and utmost respect for. But, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do in the lane that he's in. He's trying to win a championship, if you will, and et cetera. But as Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith, and even my man Charles Barkley, who basically, you know, Barkley seems to stay away from too much controversy as it pertains to African-Americans. But, you know, all of them said yesterday on NBA halftime that there's no place. And LeBron James, and I praise him, and I thank to the folks in Southern Florida who are race conscious, if you will, committed, if you will, the greatest respect for LeBron James, because he just said it. He told it to the commissioner. He sent word to the commissioner. He said, Donald Sterling has no place in the NBA. There's no place in the NBA for him. But I submit and maintain, again, the phone lines are open. We've got about 11 minutes. The NBA is going to tempt Mr. Allen to whitewash this, okay? Because there are a lot of owners who are of the same opinion as Donald Sterling as it pertains
Absolutely.
To what you really feel about these quote-unquote animals.
Yeah, and we have a caller. Caller, go ahead.
Oh, let's get the caller. I'm sorry. Any caller calls in, let's break in.
He's been waiting for a while. I know we have one with us still. That's okay. But caller, Mr. Nelson, go ahead, please.
How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing
real
good,
sir.
Good. Well, you know what? I think that there should be no astonishment about this guy. Let's, you know, we agreed that the NAACP should have vetted Mr. Sterling good enough, better enough before they gave him the national award. But let's also remember that they did this, and he got one. He also received the award in 2006. He also was sued, and the feds made it known to the league that this guy, when he got sued for housing discrimination, that how detrimental he was and how his remarks about blacks and Mexicans not being good tenants. He didn't want them. So there should be no surprise.
In fact, here's what he said, Mr. Nelson. Let me just come in because we reviewed it, one of the transcripts. Mr. Allen, this man said that the reason that he did not rent to African-Americans because they had a certain odor and smell about them that drew rats and vermin and rodents.
Oh, damn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He said
so,
that. And see, I first heard that kind of statement in some documents from the Nuremberg trials, because that's what the Nazis used to say as they were exterminating Jewish people during the Second World War. But that was his specific statement. This man made that kind of statement in his deposition during that $2.75 million lawsuit the federal government made him pay. But go ahead, Mr. Nelson.
And at that very point, the league should have then said there was no place for a guy like that. Now, baseball, there's not a whole lot of blacks in baseball. But let's give baseball a little credit. When Marge Schott went on her little racist rant, they took her franchise from her. Okay? Bud Felix stripped her of her franchise. To slap us in the face today and say that Mr. Sterling won't be able to attend tonight's game is hogwash.
Means nothing.
There
it's
should
meaningless.
Be,
that's right. That's right.
Exactly. There should be something swift and right now that should happen. If this were a black man that said anything as silly, mundane, and disgusting as this guy, Mr. Sterling, said, he too should be dealt with and would be dealt with swiftly. When athletes say these type of things and do these type of things, they're dealt with swiftly. I do realize that the commissioner's hands is sort of somewhat tied because the owners are his boss. So
that's right.
I don't know what he can do other than come out. Let's quit these old faux statements publicly in front of a camera, Mr. Commissioner, and say that there's no place for this, and we will deal with this dude. And strip him of his franchise, or take some shareholdings from him, or something of that nature.
Here's the thing. In closing, Mr. Nelson, the league can't actually strip him of his franchise. They can force him out of the day-to-day operations, but then that means he continues to reap the profits. What they can do is make it uncomfortable enough for him to sell the team. That's what they did to Marge Schott. That's actually what they did to Marge Schott. When they suspended her from the day-to-day operations, they belittled her, and, of course, there was a pretty strong black backlash in the city of Cincinnati, and the league forced her out. The league, if they want to, now let me say this in closing, if Donald Sterling was an African-American, which would be almost unthought of, and Michael Jordan has about a third, they would just take the franchise from him, and the Supreme Court would change
Absolutely. The
intent of the law. Okay. Appreciate you calling. We understand we got one more caller.
Thank you.
We want to try to get them in. Thank you for calling, my brother.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I have the two callers in the queue, Mr. Edwards, so we are good.
Well, let's see if they want to come in. All right.
Okay, they are actually gone, so we have just one caller in the queue. Yes. So we can go ahead. We have like 6 minutes left, but we can go ahead and wrap it down.
Again, our position here on this program is that absent a serious backlash from the players. It will be the players. And Shaq said this yesterday on NBC, on NBA halftime. A lot of these young men don't appreciate or have a sense of what the heck is really going on totally, but then there are others that do. Now, I repeat what I've said just a couple minutes ago. The Clippers are real lethargic. Now, the next game will be back in L.A., but if they show the same kind of disposition in the following game, I think it will be Tuesday in L.A., there is a big problem, okay, for the Los Angeles Clipper franchise. And I think that's going to put pressure on the NBA to do just what Mr. Nelson, our last caller, talked about, and that is to force Donald Sterling out of professional basketball, okay? But I repeat his statement in the deposition he gave to the federal government when he was ultimately fined and forced to pay $2.75 million. I mean, that's a heck of a statement, but you see, he tries to pretend that he is a very – he said it to the young lady – that he is a very serious and intelligent and bright man. Remember, he called her stupid and et cetera. He presents himself in the Los Angeles area as a extremely omnipotent and intelligent individual. Well, he should have enough history to know that statement he made about black folks, that the smell of black people draws vermin and rodents and et cetera, that's what used to be said by the Nazis as they were rounding up Jewish people and putting them in the ovens. And, I mean, I say this in conclusion, Mr. Allen, as a historian, as a black American, first and foremost, the audacity of this small-minded man to say those kinds of things, to reap the harvest of profit off the backs of African Americans who play for his team, for his franchise, for his business, for his company, the audacity that he be allowed to continue to enjoy that kind of profit.
I agree 100%. That's absolutely ludicrous that you'd even get away with this. But we got to see what happens, Mr. Edwards. We're just going to have to watch closely and listen closely. And with a little bit under 3 minutes left, I guess we can thank people for tuning in on this emergency broadcast today, kind of last-minute plan. But I think it was important that we did this to get this information out to our public.
Also, it's important that we wish the best and the safest to Reverend Pinckney. There in Benton Harbor, Michigan, based on what has happened. There are some constitutional issues that have emerged there that should concern all of us as Americans, as the decision by the Supreme Court last week to continue to erode affirmative action opportunity on behalf of African Americans. These are dangerous times in America.
Yes, yeah.
And let me just say this. I'd be remiss as a historian if I did not point out that because people say, I don't want to go back in history. I don't want to hear about the Civil War. I don't want to hear about segregation, et cetera. But you see, a lot of this new poison that has been poured into the Kool-Aid began in 2008 when it became clear that a man by the name of Barack Obama was going to become the president of the United States. And I don't know why people, and our caller from the East Coast clearly enunciated it, I don't know why folks are surprised by the comments and disposition of Donald Sterling. He represents a significant and dangerous portion of the United States of America that feels that way.
I agree.
That James in the back? All right.